Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio in Chicago, and thank you very much for joining me this morning. Hope you enjoy the show. I've got a lot of interesting topics to cover as we move through the end of the year, which means we also get into in Washington at least, a very busy legislative session for some things that need to be done for conservation. But the first thing I'm going to talk about, which I've talked a little bit about on the air before, but now we're getting some hard numbers, is exactly what COVID has meant to fishing license and hunting license sales across America, and particularly here in the upper Midwest, and what all that means as going forward. And so I've talked about this program called R3, which is a government-sponsored program which many conservation groups have jumped on board, whose objective is to increase the number of people who are in particular hunting, but it also applies to fishing, by recruiting, retaining, and retraining. And I have said for a while, I'm not sure that is going to be the way to have more people hunt and fish in America. So COVID comes along this year, and not only do we have many individuals who are out of work, but we also have many individuals who are working from home. We have schools canceled. We have, you know, soccer, everything is canceled. So what was the result? The result was that people went fishing as families and as individuals in numbers we haven't seen in more than 20 years. Minnesota has its largest number of people fishing this past year in 20 years. Wisconsin had a nearly 20% increase thus far in fishing license sales, so we can call it complete for the year. Over 1 million people bought fishing licenses in Wisconsin. Minnesota is closing in on 1 million as well. It'll be over 900,000. Illinois, we are seeing the number of people in Illinois fishing. It looks like our numbers are not quite reported the way other states are, but it looks like we're going to see a 10% or so increase in Illinois in people fishing, and these numbers also are going to be translating over into the number of individuals hunting. So what this shows, as I talked a little about last week, is we're just too busy. It's not that we don't want to go fishing. We don't want to go with our families. We don't want to go boating. We don't want to go hunting. That's not the case. The case is we're too busy. We have too many activities in our life. So how is a government run and then program sponsored by many conservation organizations, which is designed to increase the number of people hunting and fishing, how is that going to work when, in fact, COVID has shown us that there's plenty of interest in hunting and fishing? In fact, there's more interest than we can actually handle providing quality recreation opportunities for individuals. It has nothing to do with the things that the R3 program thinks it has to do with. It has to do with time. We don't have it. And as the world returns from its post-COVID era, hopefully very soon, I think next year I'll be the first person to admit I was wrong if we see fishing numbers and hunting numbers stay at these kind of levels. If we do, that is absolutely fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. It's because there wasn't the alternative, and our kids or grandkids, whatever it is, weren't involved in all these activities that have taken us away from family activities outdoors. So COVID has proven the interest is there. The demand is there. We just don't have the time. And I hope before we go spending tens of millions of dollars on this R3 program, recruit, retain, and reactivate, that we look at this and say, wait a minute. And actually, we got all the interest we need. We just have to figure out how to manage it better and how to provide opportunity. And this year has seen, as I said, in Minnesota, the most dramatic, the most number of fishing licenses sold in 20 years. Wisconsin looks like it's going to be up about 11% overall. Excuse me, Wisconsin's going to be up over 20%, it looks like, in fishing license sales. That's an interesting statistic in particular, because I think a lot of that are people from Illinois who went to Wisconsin to escape Illinois and the COVID restrictions that we faced. I think most of you listening, if you didn't go to Wisconsin yourself, you know somebody who did go to Wisconsin or went to Michigan, it was very strict, but certainly went to Wisconsin and Minnesota. Those fishing license sales, a 20% increase is absolutely huge. And I bet a lot of those were from people from Illinois who just got out of Dodge, if you will, and went north. The same thing is happening with gun sales. We are setting records that have never been seen before. Over 19 million background checks have been ordered year to date. So if you want to go in and buy a gun, whether you've owned guns before or not, you're going to have a background check. This is up 40, it's eye-popping, 45% over the previous year. It's no wonder we have a backlog. If you apply for a firearms owner's identification card in Illinois, which enables you actually to possess a firearm, we're telling you your wait could be 6 months. Well, for many people, they either hunted illegally because they didn't have their firearms owner's identification card, or they didn't hunt. But they have ordered their guns. Illinois is on a record pace. So this means that we are going to see a record amount of money coming into the Pittman-Robertson funds in 2020. Pittman-Robertson funds are the excise tax, 11% excise tax on every shotgun shell, every bullet, every rifle, every handgun, every shotgun sold in America. And that money is turned around to the states and is provided for providing areas of public hunting, access, target shooting. It's a big deal. So we're going to see now a huge increase in the Pittman-Robertson funds for 2020. And I would also offer that the election is going to slow it down, but it's not going to go away. We have seen repeatedly that, and this is, I'm never political on the show, this is just a fact. We have seen politically that when a Democrat holds the White House, gun sales go up because individuals are afraid that their Second Amendment rights are going to be restricted. That's happened. It happened with President Clinton. It happened with President Obama, and it will happen with President Biden. The interesting thing is, will it go up much, or did the pandemic and the civil unrest and social unrest that we saw in our cities this spring and summer and into the fall, that drove a lot of this? As that passes, hopefully it's over, will the demand for guns decline? We'll find out, but we are going to set the all-time record for background checks in 2020. So the outdoor industry is going to find itself absolutely flush with cash this year. Now, the funds that will come in may not go to the next year's budget, but every state is going to have, every state's Department of Natural Resources is going to have a sizable bump in its revenues, either from license sales in-state or from Pittman-Robertson funds coming in. In Illinois last year, in 2019, we received almost $12 million in Pittman-Robertson funds. And there's something called the Dingell-Johnson Act, which is the excise tax on fishing equipment. And we received in Illinois $7 million on Dingell-Johnson. So both of those funds are going to be up. And Illinois last year had $31 million in hunting license sales and $9 million in fishing license sales. So you add all that up, and if you put a 20% increase, which looks like it's likely, you know, we're suddenly going to be over $70 million coming into the Department of Natural Resources as a result of license sales Pittman Robertson funds and Dingell Johnson funds, and that's going to be a 20% increase over anything the DNR has seen in recent years. So the pandemic has had many strange outcomes. The DNRs in all 50 states, with the exception, unquestionably, of Alaska. Alaska has been absolutely crushed because people couldn't get to Alaska. But by and large, I think it's safe to say in all 50 states that we're going to see significant revenue increases for the Department of Natural Resources. And the real question will be, how do they spend the money? You know, we'll keep an eye on that. We report on it often. And when I come back, I am going to talk about this $900 million that was awarded on the Land and Water Conservation Fund and how we're going to spend that money. We're coming to the year end. And how are we going to spend this sudden treasure trove? That is the result of finally the Land and Water Conservation Fund being fully funded. And I also want to talk about the Chicago Zoological Society and their amazing 50-year program with dolphins in Florida. You are listening to The Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this Sunday morning. The Land and Water Conservation Fund, which now will have $900 million a year actually in the fund to be used for conservation projects, as opposed to what's happened for basically the last 50 years when Congress has pilfered the money and written IOUs that will never be repaid. The question comes now, as the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership so aptly wrote recently, how's the $900 million going to be spent this year? Where are the requests for it? Let's have a little bit of research into the projects that are being requested. It's gone up from about $200 million, depending on the year, to $250 to $900. So we're looking at four times the amount of funding. That's a lot of money to get lost in the system. That's money that's supposed to go to the states. Certainly, all of us deserve to know how this new found money is going to be spent, and it needs to be spent wisely, of course, but also we need to recognize we have such a backlog, incredible backlog of projects to do, that it shouldn't be very hard for the next few years to spend this money. But my guess is that states are never terribly efficient, and that we're going to see a lot of pork coming our way. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us who love the outdoors to make sure that the priority projects are done first. And I know that many in the conservation community are going to be keeping an eye on this, but it certainly is a between the Pittman Robertson sales taxes, between Dingell Johnson and now the Land and Water Conservation Fund, it suddenly is a very good time to be in the outdoor recreation business. COVID kicked it off on those, but it looks like we're going to have a long tail when it comes to Land and Water Conservation Fund. And after so many years of bad news in the outdoor recreation business, this is a lot of money and a lot of momentum. We'll see what happens, what carries over into 2021. Moving quickly to something I promised I would talk about, the Chicago Zoological Society, which for many years now has been run by my good friend Dr. Stuart Strahl, is celebrating its 50 years of dolphin research in Sarasota Bay in Florida. It's an incredible success story. 50 years ago, the Chicago Zoological Society, which part of its projects are the Brookfield Zoo, went to Florida to begin to research dolphins and dolphin habitat and dolphin populations and what dolphins need to survive. It is the longest running study of its kind in the world. It has produced more information on how we need to manage dolphins than anything else, probably everything combined. It's talked about the habitat of dolphins, where they breed, their nurseries, where they live, where they, the whole life cycle of this fantastically smart, beautiful species. 50 years of research. This year, obviously, with everything that's going on, like all public institutions, the Chicago Zoological Society can use a boost. If you have any interest in the magic of dolphins, the Chicago Zoological Society, led by Dr. Stuart Strahl, is the best in the world. Go to their website, look up the Dolphin Research Program, and I want to congratulate Dr. Strahl and all those involved with the Chicago Zoological Society for their incredible work, their tenacity, for staying with this, and let's hope that we have in the next 15 years ample dolphin populations to research and to help grow, not only in the Gulf of Mexico, but throughout all of their native habitats. But the work of the Chicago Zoological Society, second to none. We're proud of a lot of things in Illinois. Sometimes we're not so proud of some other things. We should be really, really proud that Chicago Zoological Society took the step 50 years ago to work to try to save the dolphins, and indeed, it's been a success story. There's more work to be done, but congratulations on that fantastic 50 years of work. Before we leave, a statistic that I found to be absolutely shocking, and I'm going to do more on this. As you know, I'm really try to be fair when it comes to how we're going to manage environmental regulations and things. I don't take strident positions, but this statistic jumped out at me, and I think it demonstrates the problem with plastics. California oceans, according to a study done by the California Oceanic Society, put 4,000 metric tons of trash in the form of plastic into the oceans of California. And this is plastic that doesn't break down over time. You've heard, you were hearing about these incredible plastic pollution zones in the Pacific Ocean. Sailboats can't get through them. But the plastic breaks down into, I think the number is quite, this 4,000 metric tons of plastic trash will be something like four quadrillion, can't even say that word, have no idea what that means, a lot of plastic residue. But here's the number we can understand. The amount of plastic that went into the ocean in California last year equals 80 million rubber duckies. Imagine putting 80 million rubber duckies in Lake Michigan and watching them decompose over time. That's what we've done with the oceans in California just last year alone. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. Winter's coming fast. We'll be back next week with much more in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.